Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen to the show right here on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stay up to date by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can listen live anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday. Thank God it's Monday. Shout out to WeWork. You'll never be forgotten. One of the great all-time like fraudsters. My company is each and every Monday on the program. He's the head coach and the team director of Team Thad. Follow him on all socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day, great weekend. Like you say, happy Monday to everyone.
Happy Monday. So it's Monday, so we're going to overreact. George and I were kind of workshopping something because, Coach, unlike you, I'm not sure how locked in. Now, I do know you said your daughter was starting to be a little tennis curious. So Coco Gauff winning on Saturday could have been massive, because Coco does feel like our best chance at like having an American star, men's or women's. Like, it does feel like Coco's, at least in the tennis game right now, she's our best chance and picks up her second Grand Slam. But George and I were talking about this, and maybe we'll just start here. Of all the sports we had this weekend, the NBA Finals felt like the worst watch. And we're trying to figure out why that is, because I think both of us are probably wired to be more into basketball than we are to some of the other stuff. But there's just something about it. I can't figure out maybe if it's just Oklahoma City's defense is so good that it feels like everything that the Pacers have to do to make it a series is like, all right, well, they're just basically going to have to bomb away from three and they're going to have to get hot. But they've largely neutralized Halliburton. Like, he's not able to create like he has been against pretty much anyone else. And I don't really think that's that shocking. Like, they're very good at not allowing you into the paint. And for somebody like him that creates offense, it's largely oftentimes getting into the paint. But like, I've been wondering, is it the way that ESPN presents the game? The fact that, you know, last night we had George, what did you think with the CGI finals trophy and the CGI final script? I'm someone that I want the final script, but maybe I'm being a hypocrite. I was like, not like that.
It's funny that you bring that up, because as soon as I turned the game on and like I was sitting down to watch it wasn't just there for, you know, background.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I noticed. I immediately was like, that's not real. Does not look right.
Did we figure out when did they go? So I know it's been a while since we've had the giant trophy as the background of the logo, which honestly, I might be in the minority here. I'm fine with it. I thought the trophy was too much. But I do like seeing the final script. And Silver's explanation, not sure if I bought it, was, hey, it's a decal that we put on the floor, and we were worried about players slipping.
Safety or something, they were saying, 2014 or something.
I mean,
the thing is, like, it is an actual, like, sticker, essentially, and...
Can we not figure out some form, like, in the at the end of the day, like, the adhesive's on the bottom. So, like, can we not figure out how to make a sticker? This also comes back to the, how did we play basketball for 30-something years and the sticker was never a problem and it's just now become a problem? Like, heard you can tell me, like, are basketball shoes that much different now?
They're actually supposed to be better, but what is different is...
Like, are the soles, like, are the bottom of the shoes that much different?
I think they're better. I think it's more whiners. It's more people who's going to whine about certain things, and when stars start doing that, you have to listen. I think at one point in the game, like, guys just didn't, you know, like, when basketball first started and you weren't making a lot of money, guys were like real men, meaning they're real men now, but they would probably bring a tool belt to the arena and leave and go work. Now is, you know, so they didn't complain, and the more and more.
No, there's no question. Like, it is a pretty much, like, you can write it as law. Money makes everyone softer.
Yes.
Like, just in general.
Unless,
like,
you're just a UFC fighter or something.
But, like, for example, we're looking at it right now. Like, we have TVs on in the studios, and they're showing highlights from the game. And, like, it just doesn't look right. You can tell which ones are actually on the floor or, like, built into the wood and which ones they're CGI-ing in. Like, Larry O'Brien's on there. Like, you can very clearly tell those are not there in person. The YouTube TV ones in front of the benches, those aren't real. I'm not sure about the Castrol ones.
Castrol is definitely fake.
I was about to say, those don't look great either.
When did we get rid of the finals on the floor? Because I felt like, was it there last year?
I know the big decal.
I don't feel like I don't remember having the reaction of, where's the finals stuff last year? But I'm trying to I was going back on Google and trying to figure out.
I'm trying to find it out as well.
Well, while y'all looking that up,
2014.
Yeah, the big decal last time was 2014.
Okay, that one, I thought once we did away with the big decal, yeah, the trophy, which honestly, I admit, like, I know there's some people that are like, bring it back. I'm fine without that one. It was too obnoxious.
Yeah, there were some.
But I did
huge.
Like having.
I didn't realize it'd been 10 years, though.
I liked having the finals in script, basically, like, on the hash marks. Yeah, or that, or the 19, like, I don't mind having I liked the old school. Yeah, just some type of logo. You could even do they used to do the year, what year it was, NBA finals, and then they tried to, in the late 90s, they tried to make it kind of like the cooler font. But that's the other thing. We don't even have the finals patches on.
The patches, that one I don't get. Because that's an easy one.
I think it's as simple as this. So, one shoulder is going to either have the Nike sign or the Jumpman sign, whichever they're wearing that night. And then the other one's going to be the patch for the team sponsor. So they're just like saying, like, well, we're not going to put it either under it or whatnot, because obviously Nike's paying God knows how much to be the NBA jersey provider. And then they're not going to put the NBA Finals logo underneath the team because they think they will be undercutting the team sponsorship. And I'm also convinced that's part of it. They can do the whole safety thing. I'm just convinced what it is they want the floor space clean so they can superimpose other ads on it.
So I have found something from that was originally posted in 2015 about the lack of logos. And it has actual, like, pictures and clips from, like, Twitter at the time.
Okay, so I know we got rid of the big TV or the big trophy, but did we get rid of the final script? Like, we used to have the final scripted, where the hash marks were.
I think so, yeah. Like, this one's about not having the Western Conference Finals logo on the court.
I honestly, I'm cool with, I don't even need Eastern Western Conference Finals. But it's the finals.
Yeah.
Like, if you're watching these highlights, you can't really tell. Like, if you're just tuned in, other than seeing, like, they didn't do a new graphics package for the finals, which oftentimes they do. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, whatever. I can live with that. But there's just something about it that's like, can we at least get the player introductions back? Like, that used to be the big deal, was during the finals, you got to see each team's introduction, like what their video was, how they brought the team on the floor. Like, can we not bring that back?
Yeah, I can't believe the NBA is dropping the ball like that, because the NBA actually does a pretty good job of keeping the customer and the consumer. I mean, they're not going to negotiate with you. They're going to keep raising prices. So they don't do a good job with that. But when I say far as exposure and enlighten things and putting it in front of you, I don't understand why they're not doing that. Last year, like I say, I can't remember, but maybe it was so many more stars and nice cities last year that we didn't remember as much. But this year, yeah, I don't want to, because the NBA do one of the best. That's why they let him go TNT. They're going to always try to maximize the money.
Yeah.
They're going to always try to do, you know, what they can do. So I'm not understanding. Like y'all say, even the viewership, I don't know if that coming from the viewership. I don't think maybe a logo changes it. I do think you and George, more than y'all, know it a lot. Y'all are, as much as y'all are basketball and football guy, y'all are so versatile now that y'all...
We are professional television watchers, is what we would consider ourselves. Yes.
So y'all skip channels. And every time y'all change y'all channel, y'all missing the viewership. But we know that y'all going back and forth. So if y'all can
leave... Listen, for every viewership I screw up, trust me, I help a lot more.
Yeah.
I am doing my part. But, like, I was actually thinking about this. It's like, I don't know, is this an ESPN thing? But, like, when you think about, so, like, think about when ESPN does other sports. In college football, like, when they have the big game, they do the pregame where you're seeing the team run onto the field and whatnot. So, like, I don't think this is an ESPN driven. Like, I think that if they would want to, they would. Like, if they had the desire to show all the intros and everything, like, I think they would. So, like, I don't know if this is just, like, the NBA saying, like, well, we didn't think anyone really cared about that or whatnot. Because Silver, I think, would say the getting the trophy and the graphic on television last night was a response to people that were upset. And, like, I don't know. Like, I guess my whole deal is I can't tell if it's something about the way the game's presented, if it's, hey, man, the Thunder are really good, so when you're watching the Thunder play, they make the other team look really bad for long stretches. Like, even if you think about game one where we have the awesome ending, I mean, what? 3 quarters plus 4 minutes? Did anyone really think, like, man, Indiana's right there with them? Like, all I kept thinking was, like, this is going to be really tough for Indiana. And then we got the awesome ending, whatnot. But, like, if you are looking at the two games that we've seen, basically what? There's about an 8 to 10 minute stretch where Indiana shot the ball incredibly, but really for the most part, it's been dominated by the Thunder. And maybe that's, like, the bigger story, is that no matter how good your team may be, this is what they turn you into. But, like, I don't know. Like, that was the other thing I was talking about with George. I'm not someone that hates defense. I actually think this is true. I think the Thunder are more fun to watch on defense than they are on offense. Because the way that they defend you, how many guys they throw at you, how physical they are, how they're flying around the ball, like, it's actually like, oh my God. Like, it's jaw-dropping. And then when they go on the other end, it's, and I don't blame them for this, it's, hey, it's SGA create. And he's been awesome at it. That's why he's the MVP. That's why he's scheduled to be the finals MVP, and he's about to have one of the most historic seasons we've ever seen. But I don't know, there's just something about it. It's like, man, the games have just not been that exciting of a watch. And I'm not even saying, like, I have to have buzzer beaters, but, like, it would be nice to sit there and get to, like, the final 5 to 8 minutes and still wonder who's going to win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jeff. I probably think me being a semi-pro television flipper and watcher. I probably
you lead amateur.
I'm working my way up to Golden Gloves and stuff. So my thoughts on that is
you just signed an NIL deal.
Yes, I'm working my way up. You know what I mean.
We haven't got your rep sharing yet, but you're there with NIL deals.
Yeah. I'm getting up there.
He's got the silver TV remote, not the gold one.
Hey, you know this the microwave era, so I'll be asking to challenge you guys in 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, these days people don't want to work their way up for years. You do something good for a week, then you know you're supposed to be
strike while the iron's hot. Yeah.
Exactly. I think Jeff, it might be more of that than viewership, and I'm not saying that y'all are wrong. Everyday people, although we do think it's a kind of strange that the signs are not there, I don't think that's why that would make somebody not watch the game. That, you know, look, oh, the Founders, oh, that's, you know, not there. You know, like if my favorite piece of cheesecake, if I walk into a place or walk into Cheesecake Factory and don't see the cheesecake sign somewhere, that's not going to make me, you know, stop the quality of eating this cake if the cake is there. That might make me think, oh, something's different here. But once I taste the cake, which I didn't watch it, it's not going to make me not come back and watch it or not continue to watch it, right? The cake would have to be nasty, too. And then I say, holy shoot, they either got a new chef. They need to get a new chef. This is not Cheesecake Factory. Bring back the old one, or I'm leaving, and I know other people leaving. You're going out of business. So, you know, but it will still have to do with the product. And so, with that being said, maybe the NBA has messed it up in this regard. They have allowed fake basketball so much all year that the new fans might have gotten used to the 144 to 289 scores, to the point that now we have real games how basketball should be played between 90 and 120 points. That's all you should be scoring in a regular game. You should not be, every game should be like an all-star game. That made me stop watching it throughout the year. Hold on. People hitting 150 points. The all-star game had 200 and something. Hold on. We getting crazy. Now, what's next? 300? Like, right? And so maybe it's some of that. People saying Halliburton not a superstar. SGA's becoming one, but as much as he's becoming one, me and Jeff have secret texts.
I'm mainly poking you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I'm just mainly irritating
we
you.
We have secret texts.
I'll say this, though. I don't think he's as good as Jokic.
But you know what's crazy about that? Even if I agree with Jeff, which nobody's, hold on, I agree with that for sure. Nobody's as good as, ain't nothing about two people as good as Jokic now. Did you see the stuff he was doing? I actually think Jokic deserved it this year. But SGA actually deserved it last year, so you have to.
I'm fine with this. If I were drafting a player, I would take Jokic first. I have no problem with SGA winning the MVP this year. Yeah. He played like there at a certain point.
Awesome.
When your team wins 15 more games, I'm not going to ignore that.
And I would say he's a top five player. This is what's funny about this era, though. I got to send you this stat, Jeff, but you probably not already seen it. As boring or bad as some people think SGA to be MVP, he just broke some record on his two first final games. He broke Jordan and Iverson record.
Yeah, it was the most points. They put the graphic up at the end. It's the most points in your first two finals games. I think also he now, I want to say there were eight players before that have scored, was it 3,000 or 2,000? If you include playoffs and regular season, it's either he's put up 2,000 or 3,000. I think it's three.
But just watching the game and being a fan of it like me, Jeff, and sure you are, George, man, you hadn't talked as much as we talked. You wouldn't think that he would actually be breaking a Jordan Iverson record. We would think it would be the opposite. He would be breaking Bob Cousy record because people don't think he is. No, some people don't think it is five. If you look at me and Jeff text, you would think he's breaking like Walt Frazier records. Oh, we would know where think is, you know, to the point it is now. And even with that, that's where they say you can't lie with numbers. But numbers don't tell the whole story. That's why some people will say Jordan better than LeBron. That's why, although parents send me stats all the time, and a lot of coaches go by it, I actually like that. I'm still old school. I like to go to games. I'm talking about not even film. I like to go to games. MUS versus Briarcrest. Yeah. Mitchell versus Hampton. These games were actually good 10 years ago. I'm just saying stuff now. White Station versus Ridge. But I like to go in because it's something about being in the atmosphere, even though film, you can rewind, you can break, you can get technical with it. You can really see what you need to see, you know, during that time.
You can see who has control of the game when you're in person. Because even if you have TV copy, like, you're still limited by mostly the hard cam, which is usually just right down the line. And so you're not seeing what – you're not necessarily seeing – like, because largely it's following the basketball. So you're not seeing what else is going on. But I think, to me, though, I almost wonder if part of the problem is the NBA has been, let's be real, spoiled by the LeBron era, the Steph era, KD. Like, you had all these great guys that are these transcendent type stars, but they haven't really made preparations for what to do after them. And I almost wonder, like, a part of this series is maybe as Grizzlies fans, like, we can have a certain, like, not wanting to root, a desire to not want to root for OKC. But if you're just casual fan, there's nothing really unlikable really about either team. Like, OKC can maybe be a little boring, but if that's your complaint, like, we didn't have the problem with the Spurs were boring. Like, we and maybe, though, it's because the Spurs were largely, like, you know, they're going up against LeBron and whatnot. And so, like,
the game they play was exciting.
Yeah. So, or it's like, you know, even if you have like the Warriors and you have Steph, there's still plenty of people that hate Draymond, or there's plenty of people that are sick of the Warriors and whatnot. It's like, I do wonder if part of the issue is we don't, like, it goes back to wrestling. Like, we don't have a heel and we don't have a face. Like, it just feels like it's kind of too kind of like mid-card stars that could be something. Like, even like if we take the perspective of what if OKC starting their run?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it feels like the league has just not, like, leaned into anything. And I'm not really, like, hypercritical of that, but, like, I'm wondering if that's, like, what the lack of, like last night, I'm excited to watch because I want to watch basketball. It's the finals. But, like, I didn't spend all day thinking about, man, I get to watch game two tonight. And there have been other sports where I'm like, I can't wait to watch this. And I'm not feeling that right now. And I can't decide if that's a me problem, which, hand up, it might entirely be, or if it's something else happening.
Well, you're right about this, Jeff, to the point. I don't think people are, like, you know, when it comes to basketball, college hoops, and the finals, I'm so passionate about it. I would rush home.
Yeah.
I was on my way home yesterday, but I didn't extra speed to get home. Like, and I got there, missed a few minutes, but I was still tuned in. You know, like, when something's really excited, you're kind of going to speed limit. I'm not telling anybody the speed, but you're trying to get there. And another thing, Jeff, I would just say to that, the end, that's why I think the Grizzlies should be happy. I think the league tried to give it to John certain people.
And no, I think that's fair.
He still might, even though this playoff, now people didn't put 10 point guards in front of him. They didn't say they'd take Brunson, Holly for a lot. I still think from an excitement standpoint, it's going to come down to him, Wimby, Anthony Edwards, guys like that.
No, I definitely think they definitely tried to put Ja there. And through Ja's own decisions, like, we've wound up in this weird spot. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, I kept also thinking like this. Like, let's say Ja would have knocked out the Knicks and Ja does the choke thing. Would that have been a national story? Like, would we have had to have another conversation, another discussion?
Oh, I hate to say probably.
Hold on. Before we get here, I got to ask him this. What made you think of this, Jeff?
Like, because, like, I kind of go back and forth. Like, there's a lot of times that I feel like when Team Morant is, like, making their case,
okay,
that I think that they are missing the point. Like, Ja was not in trouble for going to the club. Ja's not in trouble for being young with money and liking to party. Literally all we said was, don't go on Instagram with your gun.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But I do find myself going, like, when there are times when you're sitting there going, like, maybe he is a target by the league office. Because there's like other stuff, and it's like, I also can say, well, you can't just dismiss everything that's happened, whatnot, but it's like...
It's also been like 2.5 years with nothing other than basketball-related things.
Like, at a certain point, like, are we not going to give him some credit?
No, this...
Like,
I mean, literally, like, I was excited to get back to, like, most of the stuff that made you not feel good about Ja this year was at least, like, basketball-related. It's like sulking, like, whining about calls. Like, it was basketball. We weren't talking about anything else.
So he did,
until the league brought it back up in front of us. That was the thing.
Yeah, because he did
the celebration.
Everybody,
we were acting like finger guns. Well,
we're still
seeing
the finals.
I still blame
the finals.
I blame the Warriors on that.
Oh, 100%.
That was not an issue until the Warriors made it an issue.
Oh, when Dre was snitching and stuff.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
But like, that's where like I do sit there going, it's like, I don't know, man. This is a little more complicated maybe than it seems, because like at a certain point, you're just sitting there going like, okay, is he literally like, either it's a standard or it's not.
I don't think they would have. Now, this is what, you know what, I see both sides of it. I love Ja, so I do see when Team Morant, Field, all those guys, my guys, when they're saying they're picking on them. But then I also know, too, that people in position, they want to have a clean, you know, name on their business and stuff like that. I can see them a kind of, because it's anywhere. If me and you 100%. Both go to court today, Jeffrey, and I don't want to say neither one of us did something. Let's just say one of us have done something more than the other one.
Okay.
The way that we're going, even though we did the same, me and Jeffrey Wright would never do a crime. Norton Harriet the fourth and Jeffrey Wright would never do a crime. This is an example. But if both of us go in there for a crime and one of us has done it more, they are going to nitpick more and give you more time and lean in than some.
You definitely invite scrutiny.
Yeah, yeah. It's people that did the major crime, but if it's first time before. Now, with that being said, if he would have did, first of all, Hollenberger did it the right time. He hit a game winner in the finals.
Game tire.
And it actually happened in his same jersey against the same team. So that is different. But I don't think they would have got on Ja Morant. Now, if he was somebody, not Ja, but anybody, but somebody had been accused for like domestic violence of choking somebody or just choking somebody, period.
So like if Jackson Hayes did it.
Yeah, now they might do bring up scrutiny or whatever, but Ja has no choking history from whatever.
No, yeah.
So anything outside of gun stuff, I don't think, you know, they tried to mess with, but the grenade is getting a little more violent. You know, that's a whole nother subject that I actually about.
Yeah,
know?
But see, like, I actually thought, like, why he got away with that was it was so absurd that, like, you had to. Yeah, exactly. Like, it felt like Looney Tunes.
But I'm going to be real with you. I think they couldn't say none.
No,
I think it was people at the office was like, you straddling the line. I'm waiting for one more thing. Like,
no,
your parents,
I agree.
When they be like, say one more. Well, I don't know about y'all, but in the urban community, when your parents say one more thing, and I'm coming to their back room or whatever, and this ain't time out. That's what I felt like. He did it where they couldn't really penalize, and it became cool. But I don't think it's certain people who liked it in the league.
No, also. I definitely think they didn't like it. And I also think that part of it, I think also to a certain degree, was like also Ja then gets in trouble. Like when we're talking about how the history matters, it's like right or wrong. He went into Silver's office. Silver said, don't do this again. And he did it again. And so then there's like then egos do start to get involved. And I'm not acting like that's right from the NBA perspective. But I do also think, to the other point that you've made, I agree with this. I think part of it was we are looking to build a new star. We would like to put all the NBA, all of our gravitas, everything behind you. But if you're not going to play ball the way that we want you to play ball, then we're going to have to do something about it. And so like that's kind of where I say like, it does start to get complicated, and where I'm sitting there going, like, it does feel like there's a double standard, but at like the same time, it's like part of the reason why there's a double standard is because of what you did.
So can both be true? Because
probably,
because some people feel like it can't be a double standard. Now, I ain't talking about just Josh, just in life, if you brought it on yourself. You get what I'm saying? I am with you,
but. I think there can be a double standard. I think you brought it on yourself. Here's how I think there can be a double standard. A double standard also applies to somebody else to me that it, like for instance, if Draymond, like we've enabled the league, everyone has enabled Draymond to do all the crap that he does. And if someone else goes and does it, like if Ja were to pull the same antics that he was, like you can sit there and point and say like, well, Draymond gets away with this, but I don't. You give me a tech and you want me to be out of the game. He gets a tech in the first 30 seconds. You're trying to kick me out. Like to me, it's like there's that element of it. But where you bring it on yourself is you've invited the opportunity to leave it up to someone else to make the decision, the judges, the league office, however you want to say it, by what you did. And so you can be, like, to me, it's like that doesn't mean you're forever held for what you did all that time ago, but you do invite, to me, it's like you invite the opportunity to have someone else make the official call. So therefore you can have the double standard and you can bring it on yourself. I don't know if I made any sense.
No. You, I think you broke that down pretty good. And I think what he got used to too, and we know this more as regular people, that you can actually even be making more than your employer or boss, but your employer still is like who you have to, I don't like to say confine and stuff, because men don't like that and men with money don't like that. But that's essentially what you do have to do with them. For real, like you can be, I done seen situations where a coach of a college, you could be making more than the 80 ever, but they still got a way they want.
They still have bosses.
Yeah, that kind of your boss or whatever. Like, you know.
Yeah, you might be in a situation where technically, like, if push came to shove, you have more leverage, more power, however you want to rephrase it. But, like, in the end, the AD is the one that has to make the decision whether or not to extend the contract. And maybe that person's responding to other money people, but it's like there is, it's always been a weird, it's a weird dynamic where you run into these situations where the talent is making so much more money than the decision makers.
See, that's weird right now in sports. Because if you think about it, the players is making more than almost an NBA, than the owner. Outside of the owner, they making more than the GM. The coaches are getting paid now. The coaches are getting paid up to like, the good ones, 10 million now, 12. They used to just be 2 and 3, but even the average coach getting 4. The GMs, good GMs, are getting like, I think, 4 to 8.
Oh, I think most of these guys now, I mean, you don't have to be that good to make 10 million a year.
That's what I'm getting to. Yeah. So now you got players that's making 30, 40. You can get a little beside, and we're not just talking about Jai here, we're talking in general. You can get a little beside, because you know ego do come with money too.
100%.
You know, people think they got money. Think about this. There are people with money who actually commit crimes and think they're not going to. Like, for real, you get so imagine somebody who you're making that much more than, you might think you don't have to listen to them.
No, and I mean, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, when you look throughout the, like, to me, it's like the sports where, like, okay, we're paying our quarterbacks in the NFL. And we're paying, you know, a handful of guys insane amounts of money. But there's still like 45 other guys that are not making like all that much. Now they're making more money than me and George make. But like, it is weird how like that kind of like flattens the power dynamic. Whereas like in the NBA, it's like if you have 3 guys that are making somewhere between $40 and $60 million, like all of a sudden the power has completely shifted. Like,
40 to 60 million a year for people who don't know what he's talking about.
Correct.
Like, that's literally, the power is just shifting. And you got good coaches like, because think about how, this is what Ja, I'm going to be real, he still got a great opportunity. I'm going to tell you, Jeff, because the more I'm thinking in my head and you saying the playoffs have been boring, honestly, and Luka can do it, but Luka going to have to play some defense too, just a little bit.
I'm not sure right now. Like, it feels like, because I also thought that was interesting how, because the Lakers got knocked out so quickly, listening to how the Grizzlies post, you know, the breakdown went versus how the Lakers, where it's like the Grizzlies are going out of their way, and I think rightfully so, but it's like it was all catering to Ja. And then hearing the Lakers basically just act like the only reason they lost in 5 was because of Luka Doncic, like that was startling to me. Like, I was thinking to the point, like, are they, like, thinking he's not going to re-sign with them? Because it was such a odd way to put it all on him. It's like, there were more flaws. I'm with you. Like, he's got to show some effort.
Yeah.
But like to act like the reason why they got beat in that series is just Luka. Like that, there are a lot of other issues that I would put before him.
For sure, a lot of issues. But I don't know what it is, Jeff, because this happened last year when they played. Who beat them in Dallas?
When Boston beat them in the finals. But like up until that point, we're talking about like he was just insane.
Okay, yeah, Boston beat them. Okay. But what Boston did, the other teams did a little bit. They did the whole game. And I don't know why people don't do it in the regular season. Literally, he probably plays 40, 50 possessions of defense. They would just pick his man.
Oh, yeah.
And ISO. And, Jeff, it didn't take much of a move to get by him. I'm talking about literally straight lines, one time maybe. And I was like, that looked pretty bad. Because, you know, in the playoffs, everybody's watching.
Well, I think, though, part of the other issue I would say is, like, okay, if you have a guy like Luka, what we are seeing, and I think the good thing about the NBA now is I don't think this idea of you can just be a one-way player. Mm. If you're going to be a one-way guy, you have to have basically four other studs on the defensive end around you. Like, I do think we are starting to see you have to be able to be good on both ends of the ball, and I'm not, like, I think that's a positive development. But I think like the other problem with Luka is like also he had the hamstring or whatnot, like the knee, remember? Because like there would be games where he clearly didn't take the shot and he looked awful. Mm-hmm. And then there's other games where he takes the shot and you can tell he's not feeling anything. He looked like, I just think he was balancing the how hurt is he? And then on top of that, like they didn't have enough around him. And this feels like I'm making an excuse for him, but it's like the defense wasn't a problem the three previous series. It was a problem when they went up against Boston because Boston was a better team.
Makes sense. They was trying to. And I got a lot. If y'all seen it, what was the last team that beat the Knicks? The Pacers. They tried to actually do it a lot with Brunson, and they did, but it didn't look as worse as Luka. Like, he's just a kind of smaller. So he would, you know.
Well, but the problem is Luka didn't have the greatest human shield of all time. Cat. So Brunson's getting torched and lit up, and honestly, it was kind of as bad. But yeah, everyone just focuses all their anger at Cat because he's like the easiest scapegoat in the history of basketball.
I was gonna say, and the big difference if we're looking at it for Luka specifically,
and Luka's whiny. Like that's the other thing. It's like when you are whiny and whatnot, we do enjoy when you get beat.
Yeah.
Like what was the big difference between the actual teams with Dallas and the Lakers? What did Dallas have that the Lakers desperately need?
Dallas had bigs and shot blockers.
Just anyone inside?
Anyone to protect the rim, because how many times do we see, okay, someone gets past Luka, but then they have to deal with a Gafford. They have to deal with a Derek Lively.
Lively, yep. Mm-hmm.
You go to the Lakers,
their
big is Rui Hachimura,
yeah,
who's a four or a three.
And like probably should be like a bench player.
I mean, like he's fine. Like
he's fine.
He's
yeah.
not a bad player, but he's not starting in the finals. That's for sure.
No.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Munz joins the program. He has written about whether or not maybe there could be a reinvigorated effort to get the Tigers back to the Pac-12. We had the Boise State AD talking about it over the weekend. So we'll talk about that and more when we come back with Munz right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
ESPN.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is a song called Born in the Heat by Civic. They are a Melbourne punk band.
I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of palm muting. Yeah, that's the good old-fashioned stuff. So we're bringing a lot of noise here.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into some Tiger stuff specifically, is the reintroduction, I guess, of interest into Memphis in the Pac-12 literally just the AMA that the Boise State AD did when he was bored this weekend?
Yeah. And it's funny, it's not the first time he's done it. He did a similar thing back in February. So, yeah, there's always been – it's never completely gone away, and I tried to point that out in the story that I aggregated / wrote that like, you know, the conversation has never completely died down. I mean, there are still plenty of people who follow that stuff very closely who think that it's still a decent possibility that the Pac-12 reaches back out and reengages with Memphis at some point in the future. And so, but yes, in terms of what I wrote today, yes, it was strictly based off of Jeremiah Dickey's, the Boise State athletic director's, tweet.
No, because I'm with you. Like, Ed Scott, after this decision, he came on Jeff's show, and he's subsequently been on Jason and John's show, and he's been asked about this. I've never gotten the impression that he was basically saying, like, this is done, we've moved on. All I got was that he politically found a way to say, like, if that was the deal, well, that deal wasn't going to get done because that was a bad deal for the Tigers. And I thought everything in his position made all the sense in the world. I guess that's kind of the biggest question I have is there any way for a better deal and the type of deal that would at least be interesting to Memphis to arise this summer?
I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, you know, like, so the thing is the Pac-12, if they're going to be recognized as an FBS conference again, they have to get to at least 8 full-time football playing members, and they are currently at 7. And so, you know, they have to get at least to 8 by next July 1, 2026, because that's when they want to start playing again, is the fall of 2026. And so, you know, like, it kind of depends, you know, like, is people are speculating that Texas State is a team that they're going to start looking at, or that they've been looking at, that they could very potentially make their 8th member. But if that doesn't come to pass, and, you know, UNLV has been mentioned, although there seems to be some bigger roadblocks there. But, you know, as time goes on, that July 1 deadline, 2026, is really kind of the thing that is creating this sort of nothing is off the table type of deal, because like they have to have an eighth member. Like they've gone so far, the Pac-12 has, that there's really no turning back now, and they have to get that eighth member by July 1 next year, and obviously the sooner the better. So, you know, is there a scenario that comes up where that clock is ticking and it's getting louder and louder and louder, and, you know, if Texas State is their top option for that eighth slot, and that deal falls through, do they get more desperate and do they come back to Memphis and say, hey, I know this was the deal last time, but we have to have you. And like now, and they sweeten the pot, like, you know, to where it's like a situation Memphis can't refuse. I mean, maybe. I mean, you know, but you know, all that's just pure
speculation.
At this point. But the point is, yes, like there is nothing saying that the Pac-12 and Memphis don't re-engage at some point until something, you know, is proven otherwise. There's nothing saying that won't happen.
I've obviously not read the AAC grant of rights in all the contracts, so I'm not trying to act as if I have. But is there a universe where Memphis is able to go like only in football and basketball, but not the other sports? Because I would think, just like logically, the AAC would have a problem with that, and then you're going to have to start to find a home for other things. But that's kind of a question I get frequently is, hey, is there a path where Memphis could go to one league in football, maybe go to another league in basketball, and then have the other teams play? And I was like, well, I don't know what all the contracts suggest, but like, is that even feasible?
Yeah, and neither do I. I'm not super well-versed on all the legalities of everything and the contractual language and everything. But so that's obviously a question more for Ed Scott than it is for either
right.
one of us. But you know, I mean, like I would think, because at the time last September when Memphis rejected the invite or the offer from the Pac-12, Ed Scott said very plainly that nothing was off the table. There was you know, room to get creative, and so I would think, I mean, there was even a report, I think it was from Dan Wolkin at USA Today last September, who reported that there was some explorations being made for Memphis to join the Big East in basketball only, and for every other sport to join the Pac-12. And if that's true, I mean, and I asked Ed Scott, he didn't confirm or deny at the time, but his response to me was everything is on the table. And if that is the case, then yeah, I would think that they are exploring or would explore or would be able to explore options like that where you're splitting up, you know, sports that way.
And obviously I don't think this would happen tomorrow, but like I did find myself wondering, okay, how settlement gets approved on Friday. I did wonder if like one of the byproducts is, as everything's clearly going to be shifting towards like how are we distributing money, I think at some point there is going to be some recognition of, wait, why are we sending the Stanford basketball team to North Carolina? Like, why are we sending the tennis team?
Yeah.
Like I do wonder if maybe this ruling, and granted there's going to be so many other implications, we're going to talk more about it next hour, but like, I do wonder if that lays the groundwork for, hey, maybe in these other sports we should have some like regional conferences that make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I as you said, I don't know that you know, that's something that will be hashed out relatively soon. But I mean, like we are just in a period of time with college athletics where everything is fluid and nothing is off the table. And so to your point, like I could see that. I mean, but to my point, like you could say pretty much anything to me.
Yeah.
About you know, possibilities and, you know, what things could be done and what things could look like, and I would say the same thing. I could see that too. You know, like, I could see anything.
Also, last week, when the president of the United States and the world's richest man were calling each other names on Twitter, we also found out that John Rothstein is reporting that Memphis and Utah State are going to begin a home-and-home. How much interest did you put into the fact that the Tigers are going to be playing that game in February?
As opposed to, like,
during the non-con portion of the schedule?
Yeah. A lot. I think it's really significant. I mean, I for a variety of reasons, you know, that was part of the conversation. Everybody was so worried this past season as Memphis was slogging through the AAC portion of its schedule that the, you know, the bracketologists and the selection committee members were, and the pollsters were kind of forgetting about Memphis because, you know, it was, I mean, that was the whole thing for the last 2+ months of the season was everybody was glued to the RPI, not RPI, what am I, the net.
Yeah.
Everybody was glued to the net, and it didn't really matter what Memphis did. They were just, you know, there was this slow bloodletting process. And people were like, you know, that's when the conversation really started to sort of ramp up. Like, can Memphis do something about this? Can Memphis, you know, try and can you schedule somebody in the, a non-conference team during the conference schedule to stop that, or at least potentially stop that, to, you know, re-engage the selection committee members, to re-engage the pollsters and these sorts of things, and the bracketologists. And I'm not so sure that this is necessarily a direct reaction. Memphis scheduling this game is a direct reaction to what, you know, to those conversations that were being had just a few months ago. But I do think that it's, you know, Memphis was, you know, they were looking at things, and I do think that the reason why they scheduled this game, this series, is they, you know, they wanted to break up the monotony of the AAC schedule, not only for themselves, but also for the fans. I don't know how many people are going to be making the trip to Logan, Utah,
right,
on Valentine's Day next year, but still, I think it's really, really big that that they did it, and that it starts this season, and that it's going to be with Utah State. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, if you can't get Duke or you know, Houston, you know, Utah State's a really good sneaky good matchup.
What do you make of the schedule next year?
I think it's really good, and I was just saying this on our podcast. That's a subtle way of saying that we have recorded our first podcast at Commercial Appeal since March. But I said this on that. We just recorded it. That, like, there's a universe. Now, again, I should preface this by saying that there are still 4 games that haven't been announced.
Yep.
So we're only talking about 9, I think it's 9 slots so far in the non-conference. But I think, you know, I mean, like, that was one of the other big things about last season was that Memphis wound up playing the, what, number 4? They were ranked 4th in non-conference strength of schedule.
Yeah, I just like how Jason Smith always pointed out, it was like, when you looked at the non-conference strength of schedule, it was like Memphis and all the SWAC teams.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the teams are having to buy their way, you know, just having to go around and fund their programs.
Yeah, exactly. And get beat up all the way to the bank. I think this upcoming non-conference, while it doesn't have, like, necessarily the brand names that a lot of people, you know, it's not super flashy. You know, last year, obviously, there was UConn, there was Michigan State, there was Clemson, Virginia. You know, it doesn't seem to have as much flash, but I think it could be a stronger, like, think about this. Now we know for sure that the field in the, at the Bahamar tournament is Purdue, Texas Tech, and Wake Forest. There's a chance that Memphis plays Purdue and Texas Tech in the Bahamas. You know, Purdue is like some people's pick to win it all this upcoming season. And Texas Tech, is, you know, they brought back JT Toppin.
They've been making waves.
Yeah, like they did lose Darion Williams, but like, you know, they're going to be fine. Texas Tech will. Like, that's gonna be a game that holds up. And then, of course, you got Ole Miss, State on the road, Mississippi State on the road, Louisville on the road, UNLV in San Francisco at home. Maybe UNLV's better. Maybe they're not. I don't know. We'll see. You know, they lost quite a bit, but they do have Josh Pastner in the fold now, so we'll see. But and then again, there's still four games left to be announced. I think a couple of them are going to be bye games, and then I think the other two will be prominent power conference home games. I think that this year's schedule has a chance to be at least as good, if not better, than last year's.
Munns, we appreciate it, my man.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. All right, when we come back, let's get into the list. We haven't discussed the House settlement. We've also got Zach Edey's injury, so we're going to react to that and more from the world of sports. We'll do that when we come back during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.